crazy action, crazy deaths going on this week. And they come in threes. And I told you, because you had Malcolm Jamal Warner earlier this week, and then you had Ozzy Osbourne later in the week, and I said, these come in threes. And then we got news today, Hulk Hogan had passed. And then, you know, I said, the thing you can at least glean is, well, they come in threes, so this round is over. And then we find out Chuck Mangione has passed. And so now the whole threes thing resets. And now it's just a waiting game.
Appreciate life, baby. You got to appreciate it.
Got to appreciate life. Hulk Hogan, a controversial character later in his career, but certainly an American icon.
Yeah.
Had many, many foibles over the last decade or two as well. It's one of those weird ones because, I mean, certainly for my era, first of all, this trifecta of death for people my age, Malcolm Jamal Warner, Ozzy Osbourne, Hulk Hogan, like these are iconic characters from growing up and even adulthood. But I've seen a lot of stuff on the Hulkster. Going to use the hard R today in his honor.
Yeah. He wasn't a fan of me dating his daughter, though. So
wild heel turn. Considered to be, Josh Bell happens to be joining us today because I want to talk NFL with him, and I wanted to talk about him watching Goodfellas in the afternoon. But he is our wrestling aficionado. I was reading today, and I guess I probably could have guessed this myself. Hulk Hogan considered the greatest heel turn in the history of professional wrestling.
Hmm.
Right?
Because what would he go from? Yellow to the what was that, NWO?
NWO.
Yeah.
But literally was an American hero. He was
everything
you want to be, and then all of a sudden he was a bad guy.
Yeah.
That was probably, I'll ask Appel, but probably the greatest heel turn. I'm guessing there are people who are saying now John Cena, but I don't think it was received as well or as crazily as the Hulkster.
He's by far the most famous wrestler in the history of time.
In the history of time.
Yeah, right? No. John Cena and The Rock and all. Like, there's some guys out there you know, but Hulk Hogan is wrestling. Hulk Hogan.
Yep,
yeah.
Absolutely. So we'll talk about that today. Play a little Chuck Mangione in honor of him. I don't know if you guys know the song, but iconic song of the 70s. Tell you what, Lyle Hockman was not a huge music fan, but that 8-track was on replay in the Cadillac.
Y'all were texting today and the Mangione came up. I was like, who is this?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it really resets the three. It's a stretch. Anyone see South Park last night? Hilarious. Never seen it before. Hilarious show. That show is going to be around.
Last night's the first time you've ever watched South Park?
Crazy. Yeah.
What do you do? House Hunters and My 600-Pound Life are all you watch.
Well, this thing's a cartoon, but funny, man. I'm a fan. Consider me a fan of South Park. This thing might stick around. Is it new?
I think it made it. Yeah, I think it made it.
Yeah, I think their first episodes were like a month ago, actually. So, yeah.
Well, cool that you're finding their footing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got that Cartman.
Yeah, Cartman.
Like a play on Bartman. From The Simpsons?
No, I don't think Bartman was alive when that came out.
No, I think it's a character based on the Chicago Cubs fan, Bartman. Who,
Steve Cartman?
Yeah, who stole the foul ball away.
Mm. All right, well, get me up to speed on that. David Fiorones today from Dolphins training camp. Would you like to hear stock up, stock down?
Yes.
Stock up, Jalen Phillips. He writes, got consistent pressure on quarterbacks off the edge and showed prowess against the run setting the edge. It's a big year for him going into a contract season after undergoing knee rehab over the offseason. Would you like to know stock down today, according to David Fiorones?
I guess Zach Wilson.
Julian Hill.
Oh, goodness.
Julian Hill was beat in pass protection.
Already in the ground.
Julian Hill was beat in pass protection on the edge and later held on a pass rush without making any other noticeable contributions. Pre-snap penalties were an issue again Thursday for an offense that has had such issues throughout the Mike McDaniel era. It's early in camp, but something the offense has to clean up.
That's a great evaluation when you coaches get together tonight. So we got beat. He held somebody, and he jumped off sides a bunch of times.
Anybody else have any other contributions? Anybody notice anything else from Julian Hill?
We got to get this Julian in the game more.
I saw someone tweet out. Was it Barry Jackson? Did you see this, Solana? Tweeted out something along the lines of Zach Wilson looking good. Did anyone else say that?
Yeah, I think I sent it. Sent a screenshot. Somebody, maybe it was Joe Shad, or maybe it was Firones. Or it was Travis Wingfield. I don't know. There's like 30 reporters that are all out there. But they were saying Zach Wilson looking really good. Second day of camp, looking very good.
Oh, yeah, it was Travis Wingfield. Yeah. I thought Zach Wilson looked really sharp. He's stacked two good days, playing on time, ball jumping off his hand. That would be great news.
Schefter yesterday, like... He said he has all the arm talent in the world. He just doesn't win games or make bad decisions. So, like you said, we saw Tua step into his own when he got McDaniel. Maybe McDaniel can fix Zach Wilson. That would be the guess. I'm still not excited about it, but that would be the guess. And the Jalen Phillips, if he's healthy, he's one of the best defensive ends in football.
Oh, my God. I mean, if he's healthy and Bradley Chubb is healthy.
And Chop.
Oh my!
You get the third and long and have all three of those guys on the field, man, you got action.
Couple notes from Barry Jackson in the Miami Herald. Zach Sealer revealed today he has never cursed in his life.
That's a lie.
Well, you can't just call Zach Sealer a liar.
I am.
You can't.
Even when he was a kid, when he was a baby, he heard his uncle cuss and he didn't repeat it. Like, that's
Zach
a lie. Don't tell
Sealer
me that.
Sealer says he has never cursed in his life.
That's a lie.
Cap.
Barry Jackson says further tests revealed torn ACL for Artie Burns as feared. So that seems to be concerned.
They signed a former draft pick, actually. They signed
saw that.
Cornell Armstrong. They drafted him. Sixth round in 2018. He's played like 40 games, but hasn't played since 2022.
All right.
I want him to go get a veteran corner. I really do.
Well, it'll show him and Darren Waller what a field looks like. They've been away for a while, haven't played a lot of games, and we'll do a tour of 595 that'll be hosted by my guy. What's his name? Little.
Greg Little.
Everybody gets the tour. Here's what the field looks like. This is out of bounds. And Minka Fitzpatrick has yet to talk to the local media. That seemed to be a little something that people were noticing, that he still has yet to talk to the local media. Although Barry Jackson tweets, though Minka hadn't talked to reporters, which doesn't trouble me, Barry says, he's very engaged. Teammates have spoken very positively about his early impact.
Well, Minka doesn't really like humans. He just loves football.
I don't know him at all. I honestly don't know him at all.
Yeah. I had a story. Somebody in Pittsburgh said, like, he invited him to dinner, and he was like, oh, how about we invite the whole group, the whole DB group? And he was like, I don't want to eat with all those guys. Mm. I called you. Like, oh, well.
Yeah. I'm like that, too. I don't like going out for meals with big groups. It's too much rigmarole. Yeah. It's like, oh, everybody show up at this time. And then, three people want to have a bottle of wine, which somehow I'm going to end up paying for. Mm-hmm. The bill's going to get, just bring one bill. It's fine. We'll split it. And there's 16 people at the table. And six of them had to have calamari. And it's like this whole thing, and you can't get the proper service because you're at a table for 16. And yeah, I don't need that in my life.
What I hate is when you're like, you're saying you got a dozen people out and the guy at the other side of the table wants to have a conversation with you. There's groups of four. This four. We talk. Don't talk. Yeah. An hour away from each other. Now you're screaming. I'm kind of with you on that one.
But you have to be able to sit as people show up in the proper seats, right? Like Hawk, I imagine Crowder, I imagine you guys, you're middle of the table type people.
I'm head of the table. I'm head of the table. Alpha male.
Man.
No, I am. I always sit at the head of the table.
You're a middle of the table guy, Solana.
Well, no, you're middle you're of
the
sitting,
table. Maybe under the table.
Yeah. Kid's chair.
High chair. You're a high chair guy.
High chair type dude.
when you're sitting in a big group of people, you don't want the people who can connect everybody to be at the head of the table. Because
that's where
then,
I command an audience.
Okay. Now
that we talk it out, I actually like a big group, and I sit at the head of the table, and I like to have my audience.
We're all grown. I'm introducing human. Hey, John, this is Beth. I don't care. Y'all are grown.
Thanks for really easing me into this conversation, guys. Appreciate that.
I want to make sure whoever I'm sitting next to, I jive with. And I get you back in. And I ease you back in.
Get my calamari for me, baby.
Yeah, calamari is one of the guests at the table. That's what I'm saying. That's my auntie, calamari.
Auntie.
Man, I saw the season finale of The Bear last night, season 4. What an awful episode. What an awful, just, man.
Y'all started
season
watching.
Season was okay. Yeah, season 1 of The Bear, fine. Season 2, one of the best seasons of television you'll ever see. Season 3 fell off a little bit from season 2. And season 4 had its moments, but the finale, garbage. I mean, garbage. Have you watched anything since season 2, Solana?
No, I didn't. You kept me from season 3, truthfully. You're like, this isn't great. I mean, really, all of social media. But was that the series finale?
Mm-mm.
Or are they making a season 5?
Season finale, just season finale. Yeah. Yeah, it's already been renewed.
Wow.
We get to watch The Bear, you know, do this. He's always he never knows what to say.
He's still ripping heaters every episode.
Oh, ripping heaters! Quit for like 3 minutes. Anyway. All right, let's get headlines. Josh Appel is going to join us today, so we can talk about the Hulkster. We can talk about the Dolphins, and we can talk about him watching Goodfellas for the first time, but doing it at 3 p.m. on a weekday. Omar Kelly's going to join us today. We can talk Dolphins with him. And also him texting me that Superman is one of the 5 worst movies he's ever seen in his lifetime.
Mm.
Doesn't Omar align with Superman? Didn't Omar used to have a Superman logo as his avatar?
I don't remember that.
I think that he's like a big comic book guy and a big superhero guy.
Mm.
So... The more I play it out in my head, he may have had expectations just based on being like an ultra Superman guy.
And I heard this like a comic book purist. I don't know if he'd like the new Superman. As I talk to people, it's not like Superman. It's way different.
Yeah, but I thought it was like Superman. It felt like a comic book to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just keep hearing
the Jurassic Park. Anybody seen the new Jurassic Park? Is anyone seeing that?
I wanted to go last night, and Chan vetoed me, and we went fishing.
Oh, well, that's your kind of veto.
I know, so I couldn't say no. I was like, hey,
but is that grossing anything, Solana? Like, haven't heard anyone talk about it. And now Fantastic Four is out, so I feel like Jurassic Park got left in the dust.
Yeah, the reviews weren't good, and I don't think it did very well at the box office either. Here's a problem with this Fantastic Four. Pedro Pascal... He's one of these guys who got so big, so popular, that now people are starting to hate him because he's everywhere. Mm. And I just know, I don't know anything about the Fantastic Four. I don't know. What is that? Marvel? DC? I don't even know.
Marvel.
But
both of them? You say both of them?
Both of what? No, Fantastic.
Marvel or DC?
No, it's Marvel.
Oh.
Pedro Pascal.
People are starting to hate on Pedro Pascal.
What did he do? Just because he's overexposed?
He's overexposed. You go to the movie theater, there's like 3 movies with him out right now, currently.
Really?
And apparently he's a little too flirtatious with some actresses and people.
Oh, like I saw something on Twitter today where mm-hmm. very politically incorrect. I don't know.
But it might just be his accent. He sounds sexy saying anything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he is. He is. He doesn't sound sexy. He is sexy doing anything.
It's like that. Who's that other guy? You know, the guy? Puss in mm-hmm. Boots.
Oh, Antonio Banderas.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anything he says.
I can say anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a lot to talk about is my bottom line. So let's get headlines here with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by our friends at Doral Volkswagen. Choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. Remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
All right, so here's some other notes from Dolphins camp. There was an update on Matos, who was airlifted from Dolphins practice yesterday. Scary situation. But the report from the Miami Dolphins is that he sustained an injury at the end of yesterday's practice, was transported to Ryder Trauma Center at Jackson Memorial Hospital, where he remained overnight for evaluation and testing. He has movement, they say, in all his extremities and is in stable condition. He will remain in the care of doctors for continued observation.
All right. Good news, though.
Yeah. It's a violent sport. You get reminded sometimes.
You're not kidding, man.
Yep.
You are not kidding.
You guys saw who had the first orange jersey today?
No.
I did, and I have forgotten. I thought it was going to be Eric Ezukama, but it wasn't.
Cartman from South Park. No. No, it was Benito Jones. Benito Jones.
Oh, I did, and he's real, real big. He has a big old orange jersey.
He's big.
Yeah. Speaking of big, did anyone see the pictures people were posting of Patrick Paul today at his little media scrum?
No, he's huge.
He's Groot.
He's a gigantic.
He's a tree.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
Play to his size. I'll be very happy.
Ooh, not kidding.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like Patrick Paul and the rest of that offensive line kind of had a tough day today, because Bradley Chubb and really the entire D line seemed to have the best, from what I read, seemed to have the best day today. The offense really struggling.
It's an old saying, but it's true. The defense is always ahead of the offense.
Right.
Well,
I mean, it's also practice number two. Like,
yeah.
Any injuries? Because that's really the key now for Dolphins fans. Because you're hesitant to open social media in the morning after they've had their practice.
Aaron Brewer has been practiced for the second straight day, and there was a picture of him with a compression sleeve on one of his legs. That would be
terrible.
I don't know if that's a big deal or not. Like, they could just be holding him out.
Place center, though.
It's funny, they were talking about Justin Fields getting hurt at Jets camp. And they were talking about, hey, it's only the second day of camp. Don't you take it easy? And I thought about the Dolphins. With injuries, we're not in a position to take it easy. We need to get ready to play football. So, like, there's a mid-ground you have to play. I know McDaniels is trying to get tougher on the guys. You can't just run them into the ground, but – don't play patty cake for a week and a half and then try to go out there and play football. You gotta
they're running wind sprints after every practice. I've seen that the last couple of days.
I love it. Accountability.
They talk, we do.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Or
they talk, we do do.
We do do. We'll find out after the first few games.
I died on a Saturday night one time, played on Sunday.
By the way, Justin Fields, it was a toe injury that he was carted off for. Toughen up, Justin.
Well, when you talk about, you know, lightening up practices, do you have to go all out at the beginning or whatever? There's so few practices. Like, it's just the way that the players union has mandated it, like, you got to take advantage of every minute that you're out there, I would imagine, if you're a coaching staff. I mean, not if you're Andy Reid and the Chiefs, but pretty much anyone else. Like, I think you want to be out there hustling.
And you want to, I know I'm a sound old, if you want to get a tougher team, you have to play tough. You can't just tell the guys go whoop some ass in the trenches and don't practice whooping ass. Like, you can run 7-on-7 pass scale for that wide open 5-wide offense. If you're going to run the ball legitly and then third and one, fourth and one, you got to practice that stuff.
Third and Plum?
Yeah, Kelsey Plumlee on the thing. What's
Plumlee?
Is her name Plumlee?
What's her Mason.
I like
she's Kelsey Plum.
I like Kelsey more Plum than Mason Plumlee.
All right.
Yeah.
Zach Gelb, I know he was on yesterday. I don't know if you guys saw the whole thing. Kelsey Plum called out Caitlin Clark. I really don't want to get into it, but he was calling her Petty Plum.
You're talking about from the All-Star weekend when she was like, no one from Team Clark was out there?
Yeah, Petty Plum.
So dumb. Yeah. What is she doing?
They don't like the little girl. I'm talking
don't take the lure.
They
don't
do
take
not
the lure.
Like her.
They don't like her.
They don't like her.
No.
It's crazy. All right. Your weather. Marlins are off today, by the way. Your weather, it's 91 degrees in South Florida. Just walking my dog, and I'm drenched. So don't go outside. Tonight, the lows will be in the low 80s. That's your weather.
All right. Josh Chappelle is going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk a little Hulk Hogan, little Dolphins, and some Goodfellas as well. A lot to cover with Josh Chappelle, so do not go anywhere.
This is Hawk, Crowder, and Solana.
I would love to have a cup of coffee and a piece of pie with Mike McDaniel at Denny's. Josh Chappelle is with us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. He is a play-by-play broadcaster for the NFL nationally on Sports USA. He's going to be on the national call for Dolphins-Jags preseason game 3, which is less than a month away. Josh will be filling in for me for several days next week on this show while I'm on vacation, and we have a ton to cover with Appel. Hello, Joshua.
Hello, gentlemen.
So I want to get into your Goodfellas movie watching, and I want to talk Dolphins as well, but you are our resident professional wrestling expert. For those of you who listen to Smark Your Territory on the Five Reasons Network, of course, you recognize Josh and his pro wrestling prowess. What's so funny?
We're barely in the smattering.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Smark Your Territory with Josh and Mr. Bill. It was because didn't Time Magazine come out with their top 100 podcasts the other day?
Yeah, and we shockingly were somehow left off of that list.
Smark was not there.
Well, yeah, it was like Joe Rogan, sort of Part of My Take, and Smark Your Territory, the biggest snubs off that list.
I'm sure there'll be some sort of belligerent tweet from Mr. Bill coming soon. Regardless, Hulk Hogan has passed away at the age of 71, and you know, all the indiscretions aside, I was saying to Crowder and Solana at the beginning of the show, he is widely credited with the greatest heel turn in the history of professional wrestling. Is that true? Is there anything that compares?
At the time, I thought John Cena was the closest thing to it, but Hulk Hogan, in many ways, changed wrestling and influenced and made it what it is today. It's unfortunate that he has such a complicated legacy outside of the ring, given the transgressions that you mentioned, and it kind of sucks that his last appearance on WWE television was him getting booed out of the building
in
Los
booed,
Angeles.
Right?
Yeah, on the Netflix premiere. And not to say that it wasn't something that he had earned and deserved, especially from a crowd like that, but there is no present-day version of professional wrestling or the WWE. It does not get to the heights or reach the heights that it did and has without Hulk Hogan. He is a lock for anybody's Mount Rushmore of pro wrestlers of all time. And it is a complicated day because on the one hand, you want to celebrate what he did for professional wrestling, but also you have to recognize what the back end of his life out of the ring has been like.
You said Mount Rushmore. Honestly, I think he's number one, and then number two, I don't know who you think number two is, but is way far. Like, he was wrestling. I don't, The Rock, Cena, all the guys nowadays, like Hulk Hogan is what everybody put on wrestling back.
Most recognizable wrestler of all time, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And he was like the goodiest of good guys. Like, there was nobody better. He was the guy that kids looked up to. He had all the slogans, and that's why it was such a shock that when he came to WCW as the quote-unquote third man, or in WCW when he was the third man to form the NWO, that's why it was so shocking. It was heartbreaking to little kids and adults because of the impact that
it
had.
Did anyone know it was coming back then? Because I people kind of knew the Cena thing might happen, right? That was maybe telegraphed. I don't know enough about it. But did like, was that the biggest shock ever?
Yeah.
That all of a sudden Hulk Hogan, American hero, take your vitamins, kids, like, was a bad guy?
Yeah. I mean, it is the take your vitamins guy is now teaming up with two of the biggest bad guys in the business at the time. They threw trash at them in the ring that day. It's one of the most iconic, or is probably the most iconic segment, if you will, in wrestling history. And to your point, Channing, yeah, I'm not really sure there's a close number two, but he certainly has an impact and had an impact that, again, the industry would not have reached the heights that it's gotten to without him.
I think number two would probably be the Tonga Kid.
Yeah.
Ask Mr. Bill.
And the Bushwhackers.
Let me go on. Yeah, you know,
he switched the heel because Booker T became wrestler. He didn't like that.
I'm not sharing good guy status with this guy. The Miami Dolphins, there was some positive talk today from Travis Wingfield and I think Barry Jackson or someone else about Zach Wilson. Do you think he's the right guy to, I mean, it's too late, obviously, to change it, but do you think he was the right guy to back up Tua Tagovailoa this season?
I think if you compare it to what they were getting out of the backup position last year, it's an upgrade. And I think if you're Mike McDaniel and you believe in what you're doing, that you can mold someone who has the skill set of Zach Wilson to come in and be at least serviceable if he has to play. As is the case every year when we talk about this, if Zach Wilson is playing more than like two or three games in a season, things probably aren't going great. So I think it's fine. I think at times we kind of overrate the backup position in the grand scheme. It's great if you have a solid guy that can get you through a little stretch where your starter's out. But if your backup quarterback is playing for a long stretch of time over the season, does it really matter? I think Wilson's fine. He has experience. We'll all learn together how it looks in a game situation.
And speaking of that, like, we said that too, where Tua came into his own with McDaniel. And Daniel, they called him the whiz kid coming in. I'll be honest, this is the first year I've started to lose a little hope in McDaniel. Do you still believe in McDaniel, his offense, what he can do? Is he's the next upcoming head coach? But now we're not winning any games, just like we weren't winning any games.
Well, I certainly don't feel as good about him now as I did in the first 2 years, right? Like, last year was, for many reasons, just, I don't want to say a catastrophe, but it was certainly not where the expectation, it didn't end up where the expectations were at before the season, and this is a big prove-it year for him. I think his job is probably on the line. If they miss the postseason, I can't imagine him being back next year. If they don't win a playoff game, I think he's back, but I mean, you're still kind of in that limbo that you're in right now. Mike McDaniel is clearly a very intelligent coach, can draw up a scheme with the best of them in this league. But as we saw, defenses adjusted to him and what he runs. And can they adjust back this year with a Tyreek Hill who is hopefully bought back in and focused on football, a healthy Jalen Waddle, and can they get something out of Darren Waller? There are a lot of question marks for a team that on paper has a lot of talent.
Well, you kind of killed my question. What's your biggest question mark for this team? You just listed a bunch of them. So I'll ask you, yesterday Tua talks about Tyreek Hill. I think that's a question mark. How is Tyreek going to reassimilate himself into a team that he threatened to quit on, or did quit on, I guess. What do you think of his comments? And how do you think that relationship is going to fare starting now in training camp and then heading into the season?
Well, I think Tua also said that he loves Tyreek and did that whole spiel as well.
He commended him for taking the right steps, but he still, like, Tyrell Dodson, I think, was like, oh, that's a narrative outside the building. And then right after Tua takes the podium, he's like, no, Tyreek has some work to do here. So clearly, if your starting quarterback is saying that, like, I think that reflects the larger scope of the locker room, I think.
Yeah, but I also think, like, with the offense, it might be a little different of a scenario coming from a defensive guy. Like, maybe Crowder can speak better to that, but like if Chris Chambers said that he quit on the team or something like that, or Marty Booker said that he quit on the team, I'm sure Crowder, not being someone who has to play with him on the same side of the ball, would be a little quicker to forgive. Not that Tua and the rest of the guys on offense aren't going to forgive Tyreek Hill, but it's pretty clear that last year he got away with a lot of things that maybe you wouldn't in a normal season. And it was chaos from the get-go, being detained on the way to the game in week one, ending with quitting on the team in the last week of the season. If it were me and I'm trying to make a big deal about a culture change and I'm getting rid of guys in the offseason, I'm not sure that Tyreek Hill would have been somebody that I brought back. But at the same time, he is one of the cornerstone players of this team. He is the reason why they are able to, quote unquote, compete at the level they were competing at in his tenure so far. You hope that at least he has some personal pride to bounce back from the season he had last year as well. And I will say, like, on the one hand, while I'm happy, I don't know if happy is the right word, but I like what Tua said and it was the right thing, I also don't love that, like, this is a thing that they're talking about on the first or second day of training camp. It obviously is still early. If they're talking about this stuff closer to the season, then it's an even bigger problem. But, like, let's talk football here. But this is something they have to address.
It's kind of where, you know, if you were doing a television series, hey, where we left off was Tyreek Hill taking himself out of the game and quitting, and this is your first chance to reassemble the cast and find out. So I think it's an appropriate time. I think it's to a kind of channeling Mike McDaniel. The way I read into it is Mike McDaniel probably at some point during the offseason having a conversation with his quarterback saying, hey, there's a narrative here that there's no control on this team, and you're my player representative when it comes to the team, and I'm going to change things from my end, Mike McDaniel speaking, and I need you to change things as well from within the locker room. It's the way I took it, that it wasn't even necessarily to calling out Tyreek as
I didn't take it that way either.
Kind of. Yeah, I took it more as Tua saying, hey, look, I'm the sheriff in town here, and stuff that may have been allowable the last few seasons, or we may have looked away at stuff, like, it's not happening. It's not happening from me. It's not happening from Coach Mike McDaniel. I mean, that's kind of the way I took it without those actual words being said.
And it's great to hear them say that, but I'd like to see that actually demonstrated, right?
Sure. Because
you've gotten a lot of lip service from a lot of people, and I don't even know, like, is Tua
what's
someone.
Their slogan, Solana? They've got a slogan now because there's no more lip service, Josh.
They do. They talk, we do. Mm. They talk, we do.
Well, they're also talking also. So, like, they're talking right. And doing.
But last year it was they do, we don't. And that was a terrible slogan.
Really bad.
No, that's true.
Well, it was a working slogan. I don't know if they ever implemented it or not. Josh Appel, so on the show last week, he revealed he had never seen Goodfellas, Casino, Donnie Brasco, Scarface, like, just go down the list. So a couple days ago, he texted me, and it was him sitting down to watch Goodfellas. But it was like right as our show was started, like 2 p.m. It's a weekday. And I thought it was an inappropriate time for the first time to be watching Goodfellas. So defend yourself in that, but also, what did you think of the movie?
Well, let me start there. I love the movie. I've seen all of the Godfathers, and I like this better than any of the Godfather movies. Wow. I was texting with Solana after I finished the movie. I did send him a direct message on Instagram with about 20 minutes left in the movie, but I had paused it to let the dog out. So that was a pause in the movie. And I saw an Instagram
story. Did you have
your
phone down the entire time during the movie, or were you?
I mean, I saw that I was getting texts in the Hakeover group, but I didn't answer a single one. Didn't read any of them until after.
So you didn't have the phone down. You had face up.
I mean, it was charging to the side. I watched the movie. I took notes. Do you want to see some of my notes?
I would like to hear what you thought of it. Yeah.
My first
note
was,
in the room.
Yeah,
were there just the shades open? And...
We have blackout shades in the living room, so nice. I was able to kind of make it nice and cozy for a 3:30 afternoon matinee. Listen, one of the reasons that I like it better than The Godfather, Godfather's a little slower pace, takes some time. It's a slow burn. Yeah. I mean, we are right into it in Goodfellas away, and it locks you in. I got excited seeing Paulie Walnuts from The Sopranos make an appearance in the first 5-10 minutes of the movie, and all the rest of the characters from The Sopranos, actors, I guess you could say, not characters, from The Sopranos.
Paulie Walnuts is in it?
Yeah, like right at the beginning.
Early.
Everybody.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Billy Batts is also in The Sopranos as well. Obviously, the therapist is the love interest for Ray Liotta, and then there Michael Imperioli. I mean, spoiler alert. Hey, Joe Pesci, how about a little bit less with the temper? All right. Hey, once in the foot. Okay, are they going to go shoot him 4 more times in the chest? I mean, honestly.
Quite a departure for Michael Imperioli, right?
Yeah. When I saw that he was in it, I was like, oh, this must be like a... He was in it for 2 minutes, and he was just getting murdered. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
You never go full Imperioli.
I loved finally getting, not that I didn't like, quote unquote, get the reference, but like seeing the popular gifs that were born from this movie, Ray Liotta laughing, of course, the whole monologue that set that off from Joe Pesci, funny how, iconic stuff.
You're nervous, right? When that's happening, like you think Joe Pesci is losing his cool right there. Like you think something legit is going to happen.
Yeah, it was great.
All right. I'm glad you liked it.
And then one more thing that I noticed, because I've seen Wolf of Wall Street, obviously, before I've seen this movie. And the whole time I'm like, wow, this Ray Liotta character reminds me so much of Leo DiCaprio and Wolf of Wall Street that I'm wondering if Leo based how he acted out. What's the guy's name? Jordan Belfort. I'm wondering if he based his Jordan Belfort off of Ray Liotta in Goodfellas, because they're very similar. Ooh. It might just be the hair.
I'm imagining that Ray Liotta based his performance off the actual... That's a true story.
Yeah, which I was shocked to find out afterwards.
And Wolf of Wall Street is a true story. So I'm imagining that they're based off the actual, like the mannerisms and the characteristics of the actual people.
Right, but somewhat like when Ray Liotta's... I'm just going to refer to her as Soprano, Tony Soprano's therapist. When Ray Liotta's talking to...
Yeah,
there you go. When they're talking, it always reminded me of Leo and Margot Robbie interacting and how they would talk to each other in Wolf of Wall Street. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just like the accent thing, the Italian, the New York accent. I don't know.
Interesting.
But I read that Ray Liotta didn't want to meet the guy who Goodfellas is based off of, or his character, until after the movie, specifically. Like he wanted to
channel witness protection, so it'd be kind of dangerous.
He took himself out of witness protection.
Did he?
He wrote a book about this.
But he didn't like life in witness protection. He took himself out of it. He's since passed away as well, right?
Yeah. Yes. They're all there.
Yeah.
Casino's next.
I was gonna ask you. I thought it was a great punctuation of the segment for this particular week. They're all dead. Because just like one after another this week. It's crazy.
Oh, I did have one more observation. This role was clearly a great stepping stone for the actor who played Paulie, because he was much better as Gus Panis, the manager from the Bernie Mac movie, Mr. 3000.
That was a good movie.
Good movie.
Paulie, he's a famous actor. You know who that is, right?
He's one of those for me that's like, oh, like that guy.
Isn't that Paul Sorvino?
Yes. But yeah, I know him as Sorvino. That guy.
What are you talking? He's a great actor. Mr.
I just referred to Dr. Malfi as Tony Soprano's therapist, because I'm bad with names sometimes. He's that guy.
He's you know who he reminds me of? That character reminds me of Jimmy Cicero on The Bear.
Yes.
Right?
Good show.
Very similar.
Good show. Yeah.
Hey, just warn you, if you're worried about Joe Pesci's temper and you're about to watch Casino, let it go.
Yeah, Joe Pesci's like a Saturday school teacher when you watch him in Casino.
Well, like, I my first Joe Pesci was The Two Youths. What's that movie? My Cousin Vinny.
My cousin Vinny.
And the wasn't the judge
okay?
in the movie?
You're not remembering a lot of names. You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You okay?
The Two Youths.
The Two What? The Two What?
I still when someone asks me a question and like the response is like uses that word, like what, I always say it how the judge says it.
The Two What?
The Two What?
Two What? Your lines. All right, Josh Appel, we love you, Josh.
Love you guys.
All right, we'll take a break. We will come back with more Hockman, Crowder, and Solana.
This is Hock, Crowder, and Solana.
What about FD Florida and FD Sun?
How about FU?